chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. 1 Peter 4, 7 and to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that in your might and your majesty, you have chosen to work in this world. Lord, thank you that each and every one of us, in some way or another, you have been at work in our lives. Lord, sometimes we don't always recognize it. I pray that there will be an openness amongst us this morning, that we will recognize that you're wanting to work in our lives, to bless us definitely, to bless us and to draw us to be closer to you, but also to bless others. Dear Lord, that we will be those lights and examples and sometimes a challenge in the world around us. And so as Keith comes to speak to us, we do pray you will please give him, Lord, that clarity of thought and mind. We ask that by your Spirit you will both fill him and work in and through him to speak to us. And Lord, that we will be not hearers only, but Lord, people who will go out and do what it is you require. We commit ourselves to you and indeed the children and young people as well. Pray, Lord, that where they are, thank you, you're with them too. And we ask your blessing upon them, that they too may know what it is that you are wanting of them in their young lives as well. So we ask all this in Jesus' name and for your glory, Lord. Amen. Keith.
Good morning, everyone. You are awake, aren't you? Good. I want you to answer a question, first of all. Think of this yourself, and you can answer it if you like. How many church buildings are mentioned in the New Testament? None. Right, thank you. Yes, none at all. There aren't any. There's the temple that Christians went to. There are synagogues that they visited occasionally. They met in the open air and under Solomon's colonnade and so on. But mostly, of course, they met in homes. And that's where we read of them right at the beginning and right through the rest of the New Testament. And it's about using our homes that I want to talk to you this morning, want you to really think about this morning. Homes above all. Christian homes are where the church started. And Christian homes is where the church flourishes, as I believe it. And as you experience it too, all over the world, not just here, but all over the world. Now, I want to imagine the church here at Forefront in first century Chard. And that's what it would have looked like. Where would we meet each other if we lived together in the first century? Well, given the situation that we've got in our church at the moment, there would have been a big cluster about Monmouth Court and a home there. And another group about Crimchard, and then the rest of you would be scattered in different areas and villages around the area. And then occasionally, the Apostle Paul would come to speak, and we would all come together in the Guildhall to find what he had to say to us as we rented a special place for him to come to. Don't you think that's amazing to find on Google, to find the Guildhall that I could... That was church life then, and even today there are many countries where church life is just like that. in different difficult situations and in growing situations right across the world, it's true that your home is a light. Now, it's not like that so much for us today in the UK. Here we are meeting in a hired building every Sunday morning, and many churches, of course, have their own buildings that they have to maintain. But the New Testament makes it very clear that our homes are given to us for more than one purpose, not just to live in, but to use, to share, to use as a gift for other people too. Our homes are places where God is at work all the time. God is at work in our own reading, our own learning, our own teaching of each other, in our own looking after each other, the way we treat each other. And that's what we can see that we could benefited from, but it's also a way in which we can bless other people. And I thought about it, and I thought about looking back over my own life, and here are some examples of what I experienced. A snooker table. When I was a teenager, there was an older man in the church who couldn't do very much. He was quite elderly, but in his lounge, he had a huge snooker table. And of course, that was a huge attraction, especially for the teenage boys of the time. And he would gather us together and help us to learn more around the snooker table. And then when I was a student, we went to homes where we were looked after, but there was one particular home I was remembering where I was taught to do the ironing. Chores are a good way of learning about how you use your home, and they had a lot to teach me there as well. And then there was the home where we went on a Monday evening after the Bible study, and we went to the home and we read the Narnia stories to the children of the house before they went to sleep. So we learnt family life. As a young couple, we learnt an awful lot from the couples in the church who invited us in that kind of way. And then also on a Friday evening there in Barnstable where we were, a farmer opened his farmhouse on Friday evenings, and we all got together, whole groups of young couples, to learn from the Bible together. So there are all sorts of ways in which we learned about how to use our own home from other people and the way that they taught us. So we're going to look again at the New Testament now, and we're going to see something more from 1 Peter 4 that we read earlier on about how we use our homes together, because I believe that we've got a huge resource there in the way that we can use our homes, even the most humble ones, to serve God today. Offer hospitality, says Peter, to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. The New Testament doesn't see hospitality as an extra. It sees it as the norm. And that's what we should grasp as far as we're concerned, using our own homes for others even today. We do need encouragement, don't you? I mean, the Englishman's home is his castle, isn't it? And we tend to kind of put up the barricades sometime and try to use it as a place for ourselves. But the New Testament encourages us to go beyond that. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Ah, well, that's a bit of an ideal, isn't it? People come and you grumble, but you still carry on doing it. Let's offer ourselves hospitality together, but also do it for others outside. We do it with the strength that God provides. We're very aware that when I come to preach in this morning like this, or when other things happen in the services, we do so with the strength that God provides. But do you think about what you do every day in your home as doing it with the strength that God provides? Because hospitality is only possible because he now allows us to do it. So here's some examples from the New Testament just to get your juices going, as it were. Think what happens when Simon and Andrew invited Jesus to their home. The mother-in-law got healed. Isn't it amazing to think about what Jesus can do in our homes when we invite him in? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus got even more amazing shocks when Jesus came to their home. Lazarus was raised from the dead. I don't promise you that when you use your homes for hospitality, but just imagine what Jesus can do through you in your home. Martha and Mary learned their lessons as well, didn't they? Martha learned not to be too busy. Mary learned that she could sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. I wonder what you've learned in your home as Jesus has worked with you in there. Personal lessons. And then I went through a whole list of people in Acts chapter 9 to 18 and thought about them. Wonder if you're a Tabitha, making things with your sewing machine to give to the people around you, using your home in that way. No, some people are shaking their heads. But you could be, you know. Or you could be a Cornelius in Acts 10, who opened his home and so opened the whole church to the whole idea of reaching Gentiles. Or you could be a Lydia, even though she lived a long way from home. She wasn't in Thyatira anymore. She was in Philippi. She invited them to their home, and the church started there in her house. Or you could be the Philippian jailer who had a bit of a shock when there was an earthquake, but still took Paul into his home and then said, "What shall I do to be saved?" Your home can be used by God in all sorts of ways. I thought about Priscilla and Aquila, who were tent makers, and therefore when this passing apostle came, who was also a tent maker, he came into their house because they could sympathize with him. Think about people like you that you can invite to your home. And then there was, in the same chapter, Titius Justus, who was the synagogue ruler. When they were thrown out of the synagogue, invited them into his home to be able to continue to learn about Jesus. So lots of examples. And then I thought about 1 Corinthians 11. Do you ever think about 1 Corinthians 11 as 11 to 14 as the church in the home? Because it would have been just there in a home. And therefore it was all the more shocking, you remember, that some people went ahead and ate while left others hungry. Would you do that in your home? You wouldn't immediately, you know, you wouldn't deliberately leave people aside and say, "Oh, well, you can eat later." Hospitality isn't like that. But it was the same for over 100 years. Churches met in homes like that. And I looked up to see when the first church building was actually discovered by archaeologists. It was in 230 AD, 100 and odd years after these passages were written. For all that time, it was only homes that the church had places to live in, to work in, to be in. It was, and even that first church building in Syria, and a place I've forgotten the name of already, I did look it up, but that even that first church building was a converted house. Somebody gave the house. I knew someone in Lima, in Peru, when I went there a few years ago, who had a tiny shack. And in Lima, the situation is that you built your tin shack out of corrugated iron and pieces of wood on the edge of town. And when you did that, and it's very dry there, it's like a desert, the government would come along and would say to you, "Yes, you can have this piece of land for your own home." And so she'd done this, and she had this precious tin shack about 10 feet by 6. And when Margaret Saunderson, a missionary that we know, went to that area to build a church, she offered Margaret her house, not just to use it, but she said, "I want you to have this." And then she went off and found another plot and found some more corrugated iron and another bits of wood and built another place for herself and her family so that the government could give the church a home in that area because there was nowhere else to visit, nowhere else to meet. So how can we use our homes for God? I thought I'd give you a bit of an acrostic, something you can remember about. H is for hospitality. How do you feel about your home? Are you ready to open it up? O is for openness. That's a bit of a problem. We'll come back to that in a minute or two. M is for mission. And E, and you'll get to understand this a little bit later, but I had to have an E at the end of home, didn't I? That's come to that a little bit later on, is extension. How do you feel about your home? Is it your bolt hole? Is it your fortress? Is it too humble? Is it too chaotic? You think it's too untidy? Is it too busy? No, none of those things. Your home is a gift to share. And that's what the New Testament will make very clear as you read through it. H-O-M-E. Hospitality then. Now, I put this on the front of the notice sheet this morning. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it, entertaining angels unawares. Well, I've had some very strange people in my house over the years. There was one particular chap who used to appear in our garden, and we had a hedge at the bottom of the garden, and one day he put his head through the hole in the hedge to come and say, could he have a cup of tea? Angels unaware doesn't come into it. He was a drunkard, but he was a Christian. He couldn't kick the habit, but he could still look for Christian fellowship. That's the kind of person that sometimes hospitality entertains. I don't know whether Alfie was an angel, but there's certainly angels around as well. And then the passage we read from 1 Peter, a command, love each other or deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And hospitality is the best example that Peter can think of there about love. And he talks about it as a gift. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, but also a steward of God's grace. It's a command, it's showing love, and it's a gift of the Spirit. How are you showing hospitality? If you never try, you'll never learn. I learned another way when I was a student, because I went to France during 1968-69. Now, I don't know if you remember those years, those of you who are old enough to remember. There were riots all over Europe. And in 69, I went to France, and all the university was closed down. I lived in the youth hostel for a week. I was very, very lonely. Didn't know anybody in Toulouse, and I didn't know what to do with myself. But it all changed, of course, when I went to church on the Sunday morning. I found this little church, a little group of people, Spanish expatriates and people from Algeria, as well as French people. And immediately I was absorbed into life there, in the church life in Toulouse, and I felt at home. Here I had a place to stay, a place to be. Mind you, they had a bit of a shock, because the first meal, I've told some of you this story before, at the first meal, they offered me with the meal grenadine, which is pomegranate juice, which is revolting. It sweetens very sickly. Then I said, excuse me, do you not have any wine? And they all fell about laughing, because they'd hidden the wine in the cupboard, because this English Christian had come, and English Christians don't drink wine. Hospitality, but it meant more to me than just going along to a meal. They were real people who offered me real love, and as God had shown them. And you do have to be open, don't you? Oh, for openness. This passage in 3 John is very interesting. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. To such people, they were strangers. The Greek word for hospitality means loving strangers. And if you think about life in those days, there was no internet, there was no radio, there was no telephone. People just turned up. Imagine these strange Christians from other countries, or arriving on a ship and just arriving at your house, and they had your address from some other person that they'd met, and they turned up at your house. What would you do? Well, these Christians John had written to responded with love and with openness. And the question then came to me, am I still, even now, open to the unexpected? Am I open to strange people turning up on my doorstep? Or am I ready to just close in batten down the hatches and close things up? God challenges me to show love, to show service. M is for mission. Acts 28 tells the story of Paul when he went to Rome. Do you remember that part of the story right at the end of the book of Acts? He was taken to Rome under house arrest. He had to find a house of his own. He had a soldier by his side. But he still found time to invite the Jewish leaders. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. So even the house where he had a soldier by his side, he still invited people in. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. When you read Matthew 28 about go and make disciples, go and teach them, I don't know about the baptism, we'll leave that bit aside for the moment, but all those things can be done in your house. Yes, even the baptism could be, because I've known people who've been baptized in the bath. But what are you thinking about your home as part of mission? Mission is a real call upon our time as Christians, and we can use our homes. Now, I wanted to say this. We don't have to engineer opportunities. We don't have to make embarrassing moments. We just simply have to use our homes in a natural way to bring people in. And at the end of my talk, we're going to hear about one or two of those possibilities as well. Because our homes are given to us to use, aren't they? And whoever we are, we still have good things to offer. We still have neighbours and colleagues and friends. Some of them are lonely. Some of them are sad. Some of them are looking for stability. Some of them is like a listening ear in the top right-hand corner there. But you have good things to offer. And if you can't do that in your own home for other reasons, there may be people there that you can't mix with or whatever, then be careful not to turn them away. There's always a chat at Elios or Costa, isn't there? There's always the chance of taking people somewhere and offering them hospitality when you're ready to find a way forward. So mission is this very important part of hospitality. And then this whole question of extension. Is it about this passage in Luke? Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth sometimes speaks what the home is full of as well. Because what's in your heart will be expressed in your home. I don't know about you, but when you think about our homes, they are Christian homes. They are homes where the Lord is welcome and is at work. I wonder if other people see that difference. I wonder if people see that a good man brings out good things from the good stored up in his home. We're going to hear a little bit more about that later on as well. But there are all sorts of ways in which we can share the good things that God gives us in our homes. We share them automatically with our children, of course. They learn good habits. They learn things that we do. They learn about our way of life. They learn that we pray and that we read the Bible. They learn that we love people, that we welcome strangers. Hospitality is part of what we teach to our children. Our gifts and skills, like we heard about Dorcas, Tabitha, earlier on, things that we can do at home, we can then share with other people as well. In fact, our homes are whole treasure houses of experiences. What can we do to share that outside the home, as it were, to take from our homes and go beyond? And so, hospitality, openness, mission, extension, we can all use our homes to serve God. Now, to bring this home this morning, I didn't mean that wasn't a pun. I've asked three people to share their experiences as well. And they're going to come and just say a few words. If Rona and Harry and, is Nigel around? He's, do, like to come up. No, they're still here. Do come up. Rona, you're going to say a little bit about Alpha and how you used your home for Alpha. What are your responses, your thoughts about it now?
Well, it was a great joy for us, and it was also very important because it was at the beginning of the time when we were sort of getting involved here, and it was really a good opportunity for me to meet all these people coming into my home, telling me how to use the cooker that I was just got, and it was just really good to have those people there. It was also good to join the Alpha team praying for the Alpha. But I suppose the most important thing was to see how God could use our house, could use all the different church members to do the cooking, the Alpha team to present the program, and also meet new people who came to know the Lord.
Thank you, Rona. And note that bit about other people doing the cooking, because you're going to be asked about that later as well. Harry, you said you invited a few people at Christmas. What happened as a result?
Yeah, will do. He only gave me half an hour to talk, so I'll be very brief.
3 minutes.
I've got my hand in a bucket of ice water here. No, we moved down here just over a year ago, after 5 years of trying to sell our house, and we couldn't sell it. And we know now why, because God wanted to bring us here to Chard, which is a place we never would have moved to. But at Christmas, New Year's Day it was, we opened our house to some friends to come round, people, neighbours around us. And in that, one of them we found out was a vicar's daughter who was brought up in Church of England and had a very bad upbringing in the Church of England with her father as the vicar, and went right against the Church of England and right against Christianity. So we got a chance to share our witness with her. Also, we've got one of our neighbours across the road came, and as a result of our friendship with them, we are hopefully now, on Friday night, she said she will probably come to Alpha starting next week. And so just going through the whole scenario of why God brought us here to Chard and using our home. And just one last thing, in the summer we're organising with the other neighbours, there's 12 in the close, that we're going to have a street party and get to know everybody. So it's just a way of reaching out and opening the home for people to come in. And as we say, we're Northerners, the door's always open. So if any of you here, the door's always open, you just come in, knock, take us as you find us.
Thank you, Harry. And you'll probably be asked to cook for the street party too. Nigel, you're going to go a little bit further.
And if you are listening to this on recording, the door's not always open. Okay. So Keith asked me to come and speak about Safe Families again, which you've heard me bang on about once before, so I'll keep it very brief. But it's a charity that works with vulnerable families in the community that are known to social services, but before social services have to step in and do something more formal to help the children. And they attach them to people in this group called Safe Families. So we decided to volunteer for that. A few people in church were interested, and we thought we'd be the guinea pigs and give it a try. Part of it is that you can invite children who are in difficult circumstances to come and stay in your house, and the social services work with you to kind of place them. So it's nothing at all as exciting as fostering or as adopting, but it is just that little bit of help along the way. And we've done it with a couple of families so far, but you also then get the opportunity to go and work with families out in the community. And Jane's been doing a lot of that, more than I have time for, where you just go and befriend somebody who's going through some struggles. So there's all sorts of ways that families can get into problems and into difficulties. So she's working with a family at the moment. But when you do that and you say, we are willing to have people come into our home, the first thing, of course, that happens is they take your life apart to make sure that you're safe to have children come and stay with you. That's fine. But then they come and explore your home and help you find all the things that could go wrong. Like you could get locked in a toilet, apparently, and not be able to get out. Who knew? And so you have to move all the bolts and change all the locks and get fire blankets. So if you want to come and catch fire, we've got a very safe house. We've got fire extinguishers and blankets and all sorts of exciting things. So it's, in a way, you're making your house more of a public space because other people get to come and comment on it. And it's kind of quite fun in its own way. Is that what you wanted?
That's what I wanted.
Good.
I just wanted real examples of real people here. You looked at the New Testament examples, but the hospitality extends right through to today. And I hope that that's inspired you to think about how you might use your home in the same way, however small it is, however humble it is, whatever you've got there, even if you've got toilets that you have to change the locks on, you can still use your home for God even now. So let's pray together. Father, we've already worshipped you this morning. We've already said how great you are, and we want to serve you as the living God. We want to serve you, Lord, with our homes. Thank you that you've given us that love in your hearts, in our hearts, which can serve you. And we want to use that love as we use our homes for you. We take that command from your word, Lord, to use hospitality to serve you. And we ask that you would develop that gift that you've given us so that we might honour you in all we say and all we do, at home and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.